I'm going to ask you now to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, Exodus 34. Exodus 34. About a week and a half ago, I spoke out of these first four verses. Remember when Moses got the first two tablets from the Lord, and the Lord supplied the tablets and supplied the writing. And Moses went down, saw the people, you know, worshiping that golden calf, and his heart just ignited in anger. Threw the tablets, broke them, and took that golden calf and ground it up, made it powder, put it in the water, made the people drink it. And then the Lord told him, he said, I want you to make me two more tablets just like the two that I made. You bring them up here to me and I'll write on them. And those two tablets right there, Moses hewed them out. And there was Moses, a picture of Christ, who could make two tablets like God makes them, but God. Those two tablets were a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Thy law is written in my heart. Those two tablets now, those second two, those were written by God himself. Same law. But the first time, man couldn't keep it. Man broke it. And then the Lord wrote on those second tablets, had to come by man. He said, you make them. And there was Moses, a picture of Christ. Those two tablets, a picture of Christ. And those, that law, God's law, was written in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And man who could not keep it, Christ did. And then Scripture says that the Lord took those two second tablets and put them in the ark, safeguarded them. Law was obeyed. Fulfilled, honored. He said, I'm going to put that in the ark and I'll just sprinkle the blood on that. That law is going to be kept. We have a hope in Christ, who is our Savior, law keeper. And that obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ is what is imputed to God's people. We've obeyed the law of God in Christ. We've honored God in Christ. Well, now, I'd like to pick up in verse 5 and go through verse 9, and I've entitled this message, A Message Preached by God. A message that the Lord preached. You know, I love to hear a message that a man has been given by the Lord. That man has sought the Lord for the Lord's direction, guidance. And he's prepared, he's studied, he's sought the Lord. And God's given him the ability to preach and the mind to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and then preach it. And we enter into it and our hearts just burn as we hear the glorious gospel of God. But now here's a message that the Lord preached, that Jehovah preached. Now, I want to just read these verse 5 to 9, then we'll make a few comments. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, that is Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, here, Jehovah has descended, and he's going to preach. He's going to preach on this subject. The name of the Lord. That was his subject. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. The Lord, obviously, is jealous concerning his name. He said, I'm a jealous God. And what a glorious revelation it is to us that the Lord would give us a message. Now, if I was going to preach on the name of the Lord, I where else am I going to go? Carl, my message better line up with this message right here. If I'm going to entitle this message, The Name of the Lord, I better say just exactly what God has said. He's jealous. Listen to this, Exodus 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name. Don't you bear or lift up, is what that means. Thou shalt not take the name, the reputation, the honor of the Lord thy God in vain, in a false or a lying report. Look it up. You shall not take the name of the Lord. Don't you set forth the name of the Lord in a lying report. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You preach a false gospel. You proclaim me to be somebody that I'm not, as I've revealed myself to be. I'm not going to hold you guiltless. You stand in the pulpit and tell people that I'm a God who tries or who wants to but can't. I'm not going to hold you guiltless. Hallowed be thy name. Holy. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That's the name of the Lord. Malachi 3:16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. Listen to that. Those that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and God was listening. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought, that is, esteemed and prized upon his name. Revelation 22:4, and they shall see, that is, personally, they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. The worship of Almighty God in and by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be in perfect communion with God. The worship of God by Christ, in Christ, means that we're going to have communion with the Lord. We're going to see Him. That's what the Scripture declares. We're going to see Him. Favored by Him. Accepted in the Beloved. Preserved in Christ Jesus. Listen. This is not a flippant thing. It's not a hit and miss, in and out, up and down. It is a serious thing when we consider our understanding of the name of the Lord. I mean, you think about it, it's just such, you say it so easily, the name of the Lord. The Lord, when Moses asked him to see his glory, this is what he said. I will make all my goodness, that is, all of the beauty of my intelligence and my understanding, pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I'm going to tell you who I am. My friend, if there's ever any information, revelation, knowledge that we need and desire, this is it right here. For the Lord to proclaim His name, what He's saying is, I'm going to reveal to you who I am, my character. The Lord Jesus Christ in His high priestly prayer declared unto the Father, I have manifested, I have made visible that which was hidden. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. You want to know the sign of a believer? They know that God's sovereign. That's what they know. And they bow to them in their heart. They bow. They struggle within, without. But in their heart, they know. You're the Lord. John 17:26, and I have declared, made known unto them Thy name, and will declare it. God's people, the Lord's taught them, and He's teaching them, and He will teach them. That's why we're here today. I want to hear. I want to understand. I want to know something. I need the Lord to declare to me. I will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now listen. Verse 5 says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, it's not to be thought that He who is omnipresent, God's everywhere. God is Spirit. It's not to be understood that the Lord left some place and came to another place. How can He who is omnipresent, but in our understanding, these words are spoken that we might understand that God met with Moses personally, came to Moses. I want the Lord to do this for us today. Lord, meet with us. I know You're everywhere. You're omnipresent, but He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, I'm in the midst of you. Now, there's something special about that. He's here. He came in a cloud. That's what He said. He descended in the cloud. No matter what we know concerning the Lord, there's much we don't know. He was hidden. He was hidden. And the Lord, in His prayer to the Father, Matthew 11:27, all things are delivered unto me. All things are given over to me to use, to take care of, and to manage. That's what delivered. Delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth, that is, with any accuracy. Now, we who know the Lord, we know Him. But is He not in a cloud? Do we not see through a glass darkly? Do we not know in part? Do I not preach in part? I know a few things, but the older I get, the more I realize how dumb I really am. I am an ignorant creature. Things that I speak, I believe in the triunity of God. One God revealed in three distinct persons. Can I understand that? No, but I believe it. I believe it. I'm standing in this world. I'm standing behind a pulpit right now. And the Scripture says in Romans 8:30 that already I'm glorified in heaven. Now, do I believe that? Yeah, I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. The Lord descended in a cloud. He came down, he's going to meet with Moses, he's going to teach Moses something. And us, verse 6 says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Here the Lord fulfilled his promise when Moses said, show me your glory. He said, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. And here he's going to do it right here. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. God is going to teach. He said, I am merciful. Do you know what God's mercy to us is? That he's not going to give us what we deserve. In the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ who was made sin, bore the guilt in his own body. He was made sin. And before God Almighty, God dealt with him as the substitute of his people. There's Christ, and we're in him. And he dealt with him in judgment. And he drank the cup of sin. God now shows mercy to us for Christ's sake. He's already dealt with sin. He's already dealt with it for his people. He's dealt with it. I laid down my life for the sheep. And God, he said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. I'm merciful. He delights to show mercy. And he said, and gracious. You know what grace is? Grace is to not give us in judgment what we deserve. He's merciful by giving us something that we don't deserve, salvation. Gracious to not give us judgment. He said, I am merciful and gracious. The Scripture declares that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him, to proclaim the name of the Lord is to proclaim that God is merciful. He's gracious. That's what he says. And then he says this. Here's the name of the Lord. Long-suffering. He's slow to anger. How patient is the Lord toward those for whom Christ answers? He says, I'm long-suffering. You know, unless he revealed himself to be so, how would any of us know? Unless the Lord revealed it, how would any sinner know that the Lord is not slack? That is, that he tarries long, but not without a reason. Are we sinners? Yes, we are. We say we have no sin. We make God a liar. Why is God tarrying right now in judgment? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He said, I'm a just God. Soul that sinned is going to die. Lord, why are you tarrying? Why does he tarry? He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but here's what it is. He's long-suffering to us. Slow to anger against this world and its rebellion for the sake of his people, for the honor of Christ. How do I know? How do you know how long the Lord's going to tarry? What if one of his elect's not been born yet? What if one of his elect is going to have two parents that don't know God? And the Lord, for the sake of his elect, He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's one that he knows. I don't know who they are, but he knows. And he said, I'm long-suffering. Because all of my sheep going to be born. All my sheep going to be called. All my sheep going to be with me. Long-suffering. Isaiah 30:18 says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. The Lord descended in a cloud and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And this is what he said. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering. Then he said, and abundant in goodness. That word goodness right there is best interpreted. Kindness. Kindness. How kind is the Lord to his people? Psalm 31:21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Who is that strong city? That's the Lord Jesus. That's the city of refuge. That's the haven of rest. Christ himself, blessed be the Lord, he showed me his marvelous kindness in Christ. Isaiah 3:7, I will mention thy loving kindness. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Let me ask you this. Has the Lord, concerning this group right here, has the Lord been merciful and gracious and long-suffering, kind? Has he not been? Has he? And Scripture says, in abundant in goodness and in truth, is the name of the Lord. Abundant in truth. John 14:6 declares the Lord Jesus Christ to be the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the fulfillment of all of his promises. You know, time would fail us, wouldn't it, to mention all the promises that God has given his people in Christ. Can you imagine trying to mention all the promises of God? He's abundant in truth. Listen to this. I shall call his name Jesus. Now here's a promise. He shall save his people from their sins. This is the encouragement that we have continuing to preach the gospel. That gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. This is the reason that God's people want to hear the gospel. This is the message that the Spirit of God is going to bless to the salvation of God's elect. What a promise. He shall save his people. I will never leave thee. Let me ask you something. Do you desire the Lord's presence? I'll never leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Everything that comes the way of a believer is for that believer's good. I know that's so. I need the Lord to teach me that afresh. Now listen to this promise. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, now listen to this. I will come again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's coming a time, believer, where we're not going to have to suffer anymore. There's going to be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more hurt, no more pain, no more worry. And we will forever be with the Lord. Oh, with respect this life, that which is to come. The Lord never suffers His truth to fail. Here's what He said in proclaiming the name of the Lord. He is continuing to proclaim. Here's what He says. Keeping mercy for thousands. Keeping mercy. I thought this was so beautiful. And that word keeping, it means continually looking at the covenant. Keeping, looking, beholding the covenant. Keeping mercy for thousands. How many is that? I don't know. But I can tell you this. Everyone that He's everlastingly loved, there's mercy for them. I know that. In His heart, in His purpose, in His decrees, according to that covenant, He maintains mercy for all His chosen, all the elect in Christ. And His blood was shed for them. And when the Father sees the blood, He said, I'm going to pass over you. Listen to Psalm 89:28. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. My covenant shall stand fast with him. Is He going to show mercy to His people? He said He would. Then He says, verse 7, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. There's three different words there, and obviously they mean three different things. And as closely as I can tell, this is what they mean. Forgiving iniquity, that is the guilt that is contracted by sinning. Here's the situation. We're guilty. Forgiving iniquity and transgression. It means the trespass. This is the reason that we're guilty. Why? Because we revolt against God. We're guilty because of what we do. And sin, that's the penalty of. We're guilty because of what we do, and there's a penalty associated with it. Well, what does the Lord say? Here's the name of the Lord. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Why? Why would the Lord lift off from us and put upon the Lord Jesus Christ what we are, what we do, and what we deserve? Why? Because He said, I'm a merciful God. I'm merciful. Christ made sin, bore the guilt of His people, made satisfaction before God's law. And God Almighty says, here's my name. I forgive iniquity and transgression and sin. But He's a just God. He said, I will by no means clear the guilty. God's just. And with that full and proper satisfaction to justice, God's not going to clear the guilty. I'm a just God. Have we not sinned? Yes, we have. Yes, we have. We're sinners. What about that sin? Christ bore it. And now, there is therefore, now, no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, trying to justify themselves before God, but after the Spirit, believing what God has done for them in Christ. He said, I will by no means clear the guilty. Then He said, here's the name of the Lord, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. What do you mean, Lord? What do you mean? There's a consequence of what we are and what we've done in this life. Visiting the iniquity. A couple of verses here, I think, describe what it is. Why do we suffer some of the things that we suffer? Now, our guilt's been put away, Mitch. Now, the guilt before God has been put away. But you know what? We're still suffering in this world, aren't we? Why? Because there's a remembrance of what we are. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, chastises everyone that He receives. We go through this life, and we've got some problems. If you be without chastisement, you're not one of His. Listen to Lamentations 5:7. Our fathers have sinned and are not. They're gone. And we've borne their iniquities. Let me look at this. Psalm 89, 3 and 4. Psalm 89. This gives a good understanding. Visiting the iniquity. Visiting. Not in judgment, but in remembrance. Now, this verse, I think, will absolutely clear this up. Visiting the iniquity. There's a remembrance. He brings it back. Not in judgment, but causes us to remember. Look at Psalm 89, 3 and 4. He said, I've made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. There's a promise of God. I'm going to show mercy to you. But I want you to look at verses 30 to 34. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, children's children, third and fourth generation. Let me ask you something. Do we not see that in our lives? How about this country? Let me ask you something. Is this country, does our families, does our persons, do we see ourselves suffering because of the rebellion that we've seen in ourselves? We're reminded of it. You know, if I abuse this body, you know what's going to happen? It's going to suffer. Is God going to have mercy on me? Yes, it will. But there's some chastisement. He said, visiting, back in Exodus 34:7, the iniquity of the fathers upon children, children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. We deserve a whole lot more than what the Lord's put on us. Isn't that right? And if He allows us to go through some chastisement to remind us what we are and what He's done for us, we're blessed people. And after the Lord preached that message, verse 8 and verse 9, Moses made haste. And he bowed his head toward the earth and he worshiped. And he said, if now I found grace in thy sight, O Lord. Lord, you said you're gracious and you're merciful, you're long-suffering. Lord, you've declared who you are. Now, Lord, I'm going to ask you something. O Lord, if I found grace in thy sight, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it's a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity. Lord, you said you would. You said you've forgiven iniquity and transgression and sin. Lord, forgive ours. And Lord, take us for thine inheritance. Lord, this is what, I'm not in a bargaining position. Lord, you're not a God that's bargained with. You're the Lord. That is the proclamation of the name of the Lord. May the Lord teach us concerning His name for our good and for the eternal glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.